WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday Night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
Sometimes you pray for things and they just sort of happen. Just ask Drew McIntyre, your brand new, undisputed WWE champion. And we'll talk about it and more. This is WTR Sunlight Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio, wildtalkradio.com. Twitch.tv/WTRLiveChat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming, it's not Twitch Prime, it's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. Support the channel for free. Or if you like South Park, use creator code RocketSock at the Fortnite item shop, because it's all there. Hashtag Epic Partner. I'm the producer, joined as always by the intern.
Oh, Rock, have you gotten the stick of truth yet?
Yes.
Was it fun?
Not as fun as you think it would be.
I know it just moves the storm and pulls everyone to a very specific location, so you gotta be timely and when you use it.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's not as quick as one would think.
No, it takes like 5 minutes for it to fully hit, but that's why. From what I've heard people have put it out in the ocean.
But you can't use it in the storm.
Well, yeah, because you're moving the storm, so therefore...
Yeah, I know, but it's like we were at edge of storm and tried to use it on... Right at the end. You learn as you do. We only had it one time, though. Anyway.
So Rock, you're saying you had some broken dreams from that?
That and many other things. But we're going to erase those broken dreams on the show tonight. We also have the one and only Tim Stein. Maybe. Possibly.
It's my fault.
Yeah, it's all your fault. It's easier to talk on the microphone and have the microphone work if the microphone's plugged in. Not unmuted.
Oh, that's not my fault, then. That's user error.
Well, it just got... I'm so busy that I can't remember what I had for breakfast this morning, so... But that's whatever. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to WTR Sunday Night. Right here,
your mic is crackling as you're doing the intro because you moved the wire.
Oh shit! Is that better? Because I'm not crackling now.
Now you're good.
Now I'm good. All right. Yeah. We're streaming on Twitch, twitch.tv/WTR live live chat room. Come join us. Say hello to the lovely Lindsay Ward, the hostess of a little live webcast called The Rack on Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Hi, Lindsay. And of course, we got Team Chat. How you doing, Matt? And tonight, apparently, we are going to erase the fact that Goldberg won anything in history or something like that.
They're going to give two options and they got to remove something from the history of professional wrestling and sports entertainment. But we'll get to that.
Now, Rock, you set all of this stuff up, right? Like, here's your option, erase this or erase that. You deliberately picked two things that are going to piss us off, didn't you?
I wouldn't say piss you off, but you have to give some thought behind it and think of the ramifications if you get rid of it.
Yeah, I'll tell you what ramifications are. Oh, boy.
So we'll see that.
What does that mean? What does ramifications mean? I don't get it.
Things that
shut up, you know. I'm kidding. Don't explain it. I was joking.
So you see, Tim, go to google.com.
That's it. I am going to go. My fingers are in my ears and I'm saying la 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 la.
But we'll get to
that. GPT.
There you go. We will get to that in a minute, but before we get to the game we were going to be playing, something happened on Friday night SmackDown.
Oh, I've got to hang up now because I haven't seen SmackDown on Friday night, so spoiler alert.
Well, you can't spoil something that's already happened. And the fact they spoiled it before.
And the person hasn't seen it.
I was going to say, and the fact that it happened in the afternoon.
It happened in the afternoon and people spoiled it before they were spoiling it before anyone could actually see it in the U.S. or North America. The crowning of a brand new WWE Undisputed Champion.
Who called
it? Drew McIntyre.
Rock finally got his wish.
They finally changed the title. It only took
about goddamn time.
It is. It was about damn time.
People bitching about it on the interwebs, saying that it was a bad way of doing it, and the whole storyline for the whole thing just sucks.
See, I really enjoyed it because I was on Twitter as SmackDown was happening live in Berlin, and so I'm seeing a bunch of people like, "Oh, it's time," and you saw Drew win the first fall in the standard wrestling match with the low blow Claymore combination. And the second they did that, you saw a bunch of the internet chatter go, "Wait, Drew won the first fall? Well, that's it. He's not winning." Like, they gave him that first bit. He's not going to pull this off. And I think one of the biggest things that was noted by the people watching it live and the people in the crowd was how partisan the crowd truly was against Cody, your quarterback. That European crowd wanted Drew to win.
It did. Berlin wanted Drew.
Well, Europe has a Cody derangement syndrome.
Well, I don't necessarily know if it's that. I think we've talked about it on this show before. Cody getting to finish his story. Fantastic. But what happens after that? And we've had that for an extended period of time twice now. Because if you remember, Cody got the belt at WrestleMania before, held it till WrestleMania this time, dropped it for a few months, and then got it back at SummerSlam. So a lot of people are just tired. They wanted to see some change. They wanted to see Cody chase. Because also, when Cody lost to Cena, if I remember correctly, didn't he disappear for a little bit?
He did disappear. And that's kind of what the thing is. You never saw the Cody character face the aftermath. He just left.
He just went away. And you never saw the chase. You never saw. And even then, it's like we got a little bit of it. But then John turned and it was kind of like, oh, okay. And you had the crowd kind of cheering John at SummerSlam. So it's intriguing to see that. And if reports are to be believed, Cody was behind dropping the title.
Yeah, because he knows he's better with the chase.
Well, and I was going to say, I think he understands also in this current environment, it's people want the change. And now there's a bit of uncertainty of what's going to happen, especially heading to Mania. Is Drew going to be the champion, or is there going to be some stuff along the way that's going to make you kind of have to tune in to see what Mania is going to happen. Because this past Monday, we had Braun versus CM Punk. And a bunch of people were like, okay, Braun's going to win. Punk won, and it was good to see Braun kind of lose because I think it adds something to his character about what happens when the young upstart like loses in that certain way. Same thing happened in the Intercontinental Chase. He lost and it was kind of like, okay, what lessons does he take from this? And then we saw him beat Sammy and it was like, oh, okay, yep, he made that. He took that next step. He made the change. And now we can kind of see what's going to happen with Braun. Does he become more aggressive? Does he look at the Rumble and go, I'm going to earn my shot so that you cannot avoid me?
And now you got to put Cody in.
But what?
You have to put Cody in the Rumble now because he does not get the immediate rematch. You set up a tournament for next week on SmackDown where there's four other people who are, or eight other people who are vying for a shot, and the four-way happens at Saturday night's main event.
In Quebec.
Yes.
And if, remind me, Rock, who's one of the people in the tournament?
Samuel Zayn.
Hmm. I wonder if they're going to have him as part of the four-way.
I mean, he could be. But people would probably bitch if he beats... Is he fighting Trick?
No, Trick is Zack Ryder, I believe.
Okay.
Hang on, I'll pull up the bracket. So the matchups are for SmackDown this upcoming week. Randy Orton and The Miz.
Randy.
Matt Cardona and Trick Williams.
50-50.
Damian Priest and Solo Sikoa, Sami Zayn and Ilya Dragunov.
Okay, I knew there was going to be someone. There was someone in there that people might be upset that he beats.
And then the winners face off 8 days later at Saturday Night's Main Event.
Yeah, in the four-way, yeah.
In the four-way.
So now you make the Royal Rumble even more intriguing, because now Braun Breaker's probably going to be in it. Cody's going to be in it. You never know. Cody three-peat?
You know, I want to see Drew actually hold on to this title for a little while.
His character needed it, because we talked about it back in the road to, was it October, November, where he's lost and lost. It's like, okay, now what?
Well, and the interesting thing is, this is Drew's first opportunity to carry that title in front of the fans. Because remember, the Mania he won it was COVID Mania, no celebration. The next ensuing Mania, where he could have had that big adoration, he had just dropped the belt to Bobby Lashley.
I mean, so he did win it in front of fans and then lost it really quick.
Yeah, he did that with Seth. But this is his time to really kind of get a run in front of the fans. And with that, it'll be interesting to see, does he stay heel?
Yeah.
I think so, but the thing is the fans are going to cheer him, I think, at least in the immediate.
This might be another case of the fans turning your top heel babyface.
Or Drew's going to have to work to get that heat.
Or you just go and still do what you're doing and let him get cheered and still let him be the heel.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of what I was alluding to. You can let the fans still cheer him a bit, but if he really wants to be that heel, if he personally wants to carry that forward, he's going to have to work to get the fans to go against him.
It also heavily depends on who his
opponents are. If there's someone that can do it, it's true.
Yeah. It would also depend on who his opponents are, which is why a guy like Sammy would be a good opponent for him.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you look at this tournament, I saw something online that was really interesting. They brought up Randy Orton.
Yeah.
And they were saying the fact of, like, Orton was kind of handcuffed with Cody as champion because Cody's his friend, and he doesn't want to take the kind of Orton steps with his friend.
Yeah.
Now there's Drew, and we saw Randy with John. He won't hesitate to, like, slide into the ring and drop that RKO if he wants to stake his claim.
Correct.
So it's interesting to see, like, with Drew being the champion and looking at people like Randy, like Matt Cardona, like Damian, Solo, Sammy, Ilya, there's some names there where you're like, if you want to put a little run together and have him face off against some people, he can do it. And he's got some credible names there to do it.
Who on
and
the roster would be a good name for him to have a major ongoing feud with?
I mean, you can continue with what he had with Sammy. Yep. That was pretty good.
You could have him do an extended series with Sammy or with Damian.
You already closed the Damian chapter.
Yeah, but he didn't have the belt when he closed it.
Yeah, but we saw it a lot. I think
you can still do it, and the fans are going to feel it's going to be a little fresher because this time it's for the title.
I think you have a lot of short-term feuds for Drew. I don't think there's a long-term feud right now on SmackDown.
You know what would be interesting? This could be the opportunity to really show how far someone has come, like Drew on the independent scene.
Are you really Cardona? Are you really pitching Matt Cardona versus Drew McIntyre?
Look, I know a lot of people in WWE only know him as Zack Ryder. And yes, he came back recently as Zack Ryder in the tournament. Hell, they talked about it on commentary. They didn't know what the fuck to call him last week. But this is one of those opportunities you have of, like, Drew McIntyre was 3MB in many people's minds until he went away, forged himself a bit on the independents, and then was able to come back as his current Scottish psychopath, and everyone took note and got behind it. Now, do I think Matt Cardona is going to be your poster boy for WrestleMania? No, but could he show that he maybe belongs here and could compete at a high level as opposed to just being a, hey, let's give him a novelty Intercontinental title win at WrestleMania and have him drop it the next night? I think there's a shot there.
We'll have to see how it goes. But yeah, new champion was crowned. Should make for some interesting television on the road to WrestleMania because you got less than 100 days. So you got some TV to fill.
No, I'm happy with the new champion because we all know how I feel about Drew. So.
And then the SmackDown was also interesting because we're so used to the post WrestleMania call ups, right, Rock?
Yeah, we've had new free agents on both shows.
We've had a couple of free agents all posted, and there's one who hasn't made the jump yet, but made a pretty big statement on NXT this week.
I believe he's headed to Monday Night Raw.
Yeah. I think all intents and purposes have shown that. For those who hadn't seen or heard, Obafemi retained against Leon Slater on the main event of NXT. And then to close the show, the NXT championship was left in the center of the ring in the spotlight with no Obafemi to be seen.
Hint, hint.
So he pulled an Asuka, essentially.
Pretty much. So,
we've got
big big names moving up to the roster. Javon Evans, Obafemi, Jordan Grace. Trick Williams. Just to name a few.
Maybe one or two more in the next couple of weeks.
We'll have to see.
But yeah, we're starting to get some of that new lifeblood infused in, and it's going to, I think, shake some stuff up. But the question is also going to be, how are they going to be used? And are people going to be patient to see how they're used?
People patient on the internet? No. Never.
Oh, I know. I know that, you know, everyone has to win their next six bouts in order for them to not be, you know, buried, according to the internet wrestling community.
They buried Cody Rhodes on SmackDown. So, you know, he lost
the title. That's right. They gave him, 35 minutes in a three-stage match, and yeah, he's buried.
He's buried. He's no longer champion. He's buried. The road to WrestleMania should be fun. But now, let's switch gears. Let's get into the meat of the show tonight. Erase this. You're going to get things that have happened in the history of wrestling, and you got to tell me whether you would remove them and give me a reason why. And when I give it to you, you got to think of the ramifications of what happens when you do remove something from history. So put some little thought behind it, not just, oh, I'm just removing this because, yeah, reason. No, I want some thought behind it.
Rock, I ever just give you a straight answer and that's it?
No, I'm just laying the groundwork. Okay. So we're gonna start this one off with an easy one. This one's gonna be easy for you guys. Two options to erase it from history: Steve Austin winning the King of the Ring.
Oh shit!
Hulk Hogan being the third man.
Which attitude era do we want to get rid of?
Which one would you get rid of, Brent?
I would, if I would get rid of one thing of the two. Yeah. I would probably get rid of Hogan as the third man. Would keep Steve Austin.
But getting rid of Hogan as being the third man, that gets rid of what the genesis of what would be the full NWO and the takeover of the ratings, Brent.
Yeah. Well, in a way, yes. Now, do I think they could have found another third man or still tried to do a storyline similar? I think you could have. Would it have been as impactful as having Hulk Hogan, your ultra white meat babyface, turning heel on a big stage and kind of setting that forward? No, but you had already seen Hall and Nash integrate themselves into WCW already. They had already started to sow the seeds of chaos. I think you could have used another person or two to help cement a kind of hostile takeover. I don't know if it would have been up to the levels of, say, Hulk Hogan and full NWO turn that we got. The reason I chose to keep Austin, though, is because Steve Austin doing the Austin 316 and everything that comes from that created a tonal shift in the WWF that it hadn't seen to that point. Excuse me. We talk about that, like, late 80s to mid 90s of kind of like, you know, the corny characters, the goon, the, you know, Duke the Dumpster Drosy, Abe Knuckleball Schwartz, you know, a lot of that kind of stuff that was in the WWE at that point. And prior to Austin hitting the 316 promo and winning the King of the Ring, I mean, the Ringmaster was there, but he wasn't really doing, you know, gangbusters in the way that as soon as he hit 316, as soon as, you know, they started to hit that marketing and he truly embodied that stone cold style gimmick and turning, or, you know, and kind of facing up against the boss in this mentality of like, your everyman wanted to be able to stick it to their boss in the way that Stone Cold did McMahon. I would say that shifted the WWE into the Attitude Era, which pushed it to be able to compete against like the WCW when it had the NWO.
That's one perspective, Tim.
I'd also eliminate the Hulk Hogan turn. As big as that was, and it was absolutely huge, WCW was already on the upswing ratings wise. And they would have overtaken WWE with or without that. You could have had, it would have not made the same impact, but you could have still had an impact if Randy Savage was the third man. You could, you know, they could have chosen him instead of Hogan, and that thing would have had legs. What month and year was Austin's King in the Ring with the Austin 316?
June 1996,
a year and a half before the birth of the Mr. McMahon character. That yes. Literally rounded out, right?
Mm-hmm.
What would become the Attitude Era. And the literal genesis of it was Austin 316 says, "I just whipped your ass." And everything that happened after that gave WWF, at the time, the grip that they wound up, the momentum that they wound up with. And it's a bigger deal overall. Because if the Attitude Era hadn't happened and WWE hadn't have wound up catching up to and overtaking and beating and pummeling WCW in that ratings war, which back then was huge, they didn't have the number of channels, no streaming services, no video on demand, none of that shit back then. And so you're getting ratings reports as 7.5. This is, you know, like 7.5, 8.1. I don't remember what the highest reported rating for either show ever was, but it was like way the fuck up there. And now you're lucky if you get like a 1.5, you're doing good. But to have a demographic like that, to have that kind of a reach, to be able to have that happen, if it wasn't for kicking off the Attitude Era, WWF would have gone out of business. Okay. They were that close to going under until McMahon gets on television and tells every fan that they're sick and tired of insulting their intelligence.
All right, that was a good first. Now let's give you a second one.
Uh-oh.
Seth Rollins betrays the Shield.
Big.
Shawn Michaels throws Marty Jannetty through the barbershop window.
Whoa. Is it my go or is it Brent's?
We'll let you go, Tim. Yeah, you go.
Okay. Well, I'll erase Seth Rollins turning on the Shield.
Why?
The reason I'm keeping Shawn Michaels kicking Marty Jannetty through that window is, in my opinion, it should be self-explanatory. Look what happened to Shawn Michaels once he did that and wound up going solo in his career. It's totally skyrocketed. Rockers are basically not going to go anywhere else. And they had peaked and they were, you know, for all intents and purposes over and done with. Had they stayed together, what would have happened? Not a hell of a lot, really. We all saw what Shawn Michaels' career became and what became of the Heartbreak Kid, and you know, what it all led to and what came out of it, including, you know, including Montreal in 1997. And then his epic unexpected return after a few years off, after, you know, because of his back. And you know, that was supposed to, like, initially that was just a one-off.
But the Shield breakup gave you three single stars compared to one.
You could have the Shield breakup any number of ways. Seth Rollins turning his back on the other two guys after the three of them just kicked the living shit out of Hunter and
Evolution.
Flair and hey.
Evolution.
Yeah, it wasn't Evolution. Flair. It was Orton, Batista, Triple H.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was Flair. Flair was okay. He wasn't wrestling, but he was with. Yeah. It, like, to me, when I'm watching that, yeah, okay, I see the shock value. I get it, but it made no sense. They, you know, they kicked the shit out of Evolution for like the nth time. They put Triple H in the back seat. And then, oh, they're standing in the ring victorious. Why would you turn your back on your teammates when you're the most successful triple threat and you're a bigger deal faction than Evolution, and you basically destroyed Evolution? You're on the top of the world. Why would you turn your back on that success to join number two? And it always frustrated me. And in no small part, as a fan of wrestling, it annoyed me. As a booker, I got it. I can understand. And you're looking for the pop and the wow factor and the shock. And what are we going to do to freak the fans out and swerve them? And they're never going to fucking see it coming. Well, let's do this. Yeah, okay. No lead up, no build up, no hint of dissension leading up to it. No whiff of clashing and not getting along or having differences of opinion or anything like that. It just happened out of the blue. And sometimes, yeah, just happening out of the blue makes sense. But it makes sense if you're coming out second best on a regular basis. And this quite possibly may have, boom, done that. And I understand, you know, like Seth playing second fiddle in the group and all of that stuff. You know, it was destined at some point for them to all go their separate ways and have whatever success they would wind up having as singles. It's just really, to me, it didn't elevate any of them in any particular way. It wasn't a launching pad. Shawn Michaels kicking Marty, that was a launching pad. So that stays.
Right.
And the Seth's were, forget it,
right?
All right, let's look at what each of them gave us. And Brock, let me correct you first. It wasn't Sean super kicking Marty through the glass window.
I wrote throws Marty Jannetty through.
It was Sean kicking Marty Jannetty and Marty jumping through the window. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right, be pedantic for crying out loud.
He was such a coward, he threw himself through the window to get away from Sean. Thank you, Bobby Heenan. One of my favorite calls of all time. But with Sean turning, we got the creation of the Heartbreak Kid. From that, we got the Boyhood Dream. From that, we also got DX. And we then were able to get things like, you know, two fantastic matches in the history of WrestleMania with The Undertaker and all of that. I don't think any of that would have happened had Sean not super kicked Marty and imploded the Rockers. On the flip side, Seth putting the chair to Roman and taking out Dean and breaking up the Shield. From that, we got the Authority. And I know Rock has the sounder of Long Live the Authority, but there are so many fans who do not want to long live that era.
No, it's Long Live the Alliance. Long Live
the Alliance. The Alliance. My bad. The Alliance, my bad. But we got the Authority out of it. We got Super Roman out of the turn, which a lot of people were not overly fans of. We did get the Seth with the first ever in-match cash-in at WrestleMania, which is a fantastic moment. Don't get me wrong. Fantastic moment. We also got, you know, Seth as the visionary. We got the creation of the Vision. We also did get that weird Monday Night Messiah bit where he kind of spun his wheels and, you know.
You know. We also got the Tribal Chief, though, out of Roman Reigns, eventually.
We got the tribal chief out of Roman Reigns, but would we have gotten that had Seth not turned?
That's the question.
Could we have gotten the same thing out of Dean turning?
You don't know.
Or would Roman have turned and been, you know, created as an initial heel and, on the singles run, and from that possibly have gotten something like a tribal chief out of him? It's hard to say in terms of those respects, but I also think the problem with this is one of them has much longer lasting effects that we see and completely elevated one person to legitimately the stratosphere. Now, the question is, does Marty like the fact that he got super kicked and the team broke up? Probably not. But then we also may not have gotten some of the weird stuff that Marty Jannetty was also involved in. If you haven't seen, check out Dark Side of the Ring. But at least in terms of, like, if I had to choose one thing to keep between those two, I think it needs to be keep Shawn Michaels. Because, again, just the litany of stuff that came from that and that, like, I think a lot of people have fondness of memory of in terms of Shawn's runs, DX, all of that. I don't think there would have been anything remotely close had Shawn not done that at that moment, as opposed to, I think you could have broken up the Shield because it's three people and you could have flipped the script in terms of who it could have been. So, like, you could have had Dean turn, and I think you could still kind of get to the same place with other individuals in that respect. I think the three people of the Shield were already on a trajectory of becoming big stars. I don't know if Shawn would have been a big star had that moment not hit and been like, well, we're gonna push him as a single. Let's go.
All right, Brent, we'll start with you on this one. Goldberg streak, Undertaker streak.
I thought one of these was going to be on there. I didn't think you'd put Taker with it, but I would keep Taker streak. I would get rid of Goldberg's. Goldberg streak, I think, was important in setting him up as a character. I think Taker is a huge star without necessarily the WrestleMania streak. I think it adds to the mystique, but I don't know if it necessarily fully defined the Undertaker. That being said, I think the thing that had higher highs, and I think that has more impact, is the WrestleMania streak. Because even at, you know, in its beginning, with taking on Superfly Jimmy Snuka and King Kong Bundy and, dear God, Giant Gonzalez, those are not great wins, but they're still Mania matches. They're still, you know, part of the streak. But when you get to the highs of the streak, when it's Shawn, Taker, you know, Brock beating Taker and having that moment of the streak being broken, being the one in 21-1. Sorry, Lindsay. Like, those big moments, I think, overshadow Goldberg, because when you're watching Monday Nitro and Goldberg comes out and all of a sudden there's eight new victories on the undefeated streak from the last week, you're like, wait a minute, where did he pick some of these up from? Like, are they counting the fact that he knocked a jobber out backstage and pinned him for a victory? There's times where the math just didn't line up. And also, when you saw some of Goldberg's streak, like, the people he was facing, you were kind of going, I can only watch him beat Buddy Rogers and Hugh Morris enough times. Now, he had some matches like when William Regal decided to take him to school in the ring on Monday Nitro. And I think some people kind of went, oh shit, Regal's going legit here, hang on. And then, you know, you had some of those moments where, like, he won the U.S. title and then he beat Hogan for the world title. I think that helped create a bit of aura for Goldberg. But at the same time, Goldberg was always hindered by the fact of, sure, he has this big win, you know, undefeated streak, but he kind of felt like a much more muscular and a little bit more athletic Ultimate Warrior, where you're like, we're going to get about 5 minutes out of him, and that's about all we can count on. Because as we saw with parts of WCW, and definitely when he got to WWE/F/E, putting Goldberg in any kind of, like, legitimate wrestling match that lasted longer than 7 minutes, you kind of went, oh God, like, I don't know about this. Whereas Taker, I think, always kind of understood the moment of his streak. And when you look at the opponents, when you look at kind of the placement of those matches, especially being at Mania, and especially like they didn't realize they had the streak until halfway through, and then it became, oh, there's something bigger here. As opposed to Goldberg's streak was something that was, for all intents and purposes, cultivated from the beginning of, we're going to have him mow through a shit ton of nobodies to amass these numbers, and then we'll start to kind of feed him some legitimate people. So I think ultimately I would keep Taker's WrestleMania streak, but get rid of and banish the Goldberg streak.
All right. What do you got, Tim?
You're cutting out. Sorry.
What about you? What do you got?
What do you got? Yeah. Okay. You're putting the Taker streak up against Bill Goldberg's. Brett touched on a lot of the things I would say about Taker's WrestleMania streak. It wasn't a streak. It wasn't pointed out a streak. It wasn't recognized as a streak until somebody said, hey, you know, he's been booked to win every WrestleMania so far. Oh, well, then let's do this halfway through it. And a lot of the matches were, yeah, absolutely not good. The good ones were absolute instant classics. On the other side, the other channel, Bill Goldberg always came across as a WCW ripoff of Stone Cold Steve Austin, which essentially he was, really, which is all fine and dandy. He's the only wrestler actually created in-house by WCW, and they did a monster job turning him into a monster, beast, animal, and it had people tuning in to WCW for at least his match, if for nothing else on every Monday night card. You had people tuning in just to watch Goldberg spend 2 minutes running through a bunch of nobodies leading up to facing a named wrestler. And it really helped the spike in ratings for WCW and put them ahead of WWE here and there off and on, because it was so much more impactful. It was so much more deliberate, and they had a plan right from the get-go to make him an undefeated, unstoppable force, as opposed to Undertaker is like, oh shit, no, you know, we just realized halfway through all, you know, Undertaker streak, as fun as it was to see who would come out every year to do the job for Mark Calloway, you knew where it was headed. You knew where it was, what was going on. And it ultimately wasn't anything that really meant anything. And just because of what we're talking about, Undertaker streak is eliminated for me.
Okay. Now we'll do one last one. We'll give you to start with Tim for it.
Uh-oh.
Option one, Steve Austin aligning with Vince McMahon at WrestleMania 17 and going heel. Or option two, John Cena turning heel last year at Elimination Chamber.
Well, last year at Elimination Chamber, if I recall correctly, I stated what I found wrong with John Cena's heel turn. Didn't feel organic enough, felt way too forced. It wasn't natural. It was like cheese slices as opposed to a brick of cured aged cheddar. At the end of the day, I will maintain that it could have been handled a lot better. The promos John Cena cut as a heel could have been a lot better. His reasons could have been stated differently and wound up being more entertaining and a lot better. As far as all of that goes, Stone Cold turning heel, and that had an overarching, long-reaching, ways down the line bunch of stories connected to it, and it actually was more impactful and meant more overall than John Cena's final year in the WWE, and we're just going to do a quick, short, little heel turn because, well, you know, whatever. So, yeah, I could do without John Cena going bad guy last summer.
Before Brent answers, Steve Austin was quoted this week saying he would have called it in the ring at WrestleMania 17 and went stunner.
Stunner to McMahon?
Stunner to McMahon.
Hmm.
This one's interesting because you've got two, I guess for lack of a better term, two failed heel turns.
Exactly.
Because I think looking at the Steve Austin one from 17. I don't think anyone really looks at that and his his run with that as being really all that good. In fact, I think more people are disappointed in that because the entire thing about Austin was the anti-authority. And so him joining McMahon feels hollow. Dana turning, as much as he's Mr. Hustle, loyalty, respect, I think it fits the narrative of his final run because the story with that is the desperation of John Cena knowing the clock is ticking on his time in the ring. And I think we see that. I think a lot of people can relate to that in terms of if you know your time is coming up at a certain place, if it's a job, if it's, I mean, we see it in the NFL, right, Rock? People know time's ticking, my window's closing to make a run. And we see people leave teams that they've been associated with. They'll join teams that they may have talked shit about previously. They'll do what it takes to get the ends that they need. And in my opinion, that first, I mean, I know a lot of people did not like that first promo from John in Belgium about what happened. But there is a kernel of truth in that if you have John Cena turning and he can look at all the fans and be like, you all pushed me to this for years. You know, I come in here and I kill myself every day for, you know, 10, 20 years. And I have to sit here and listen to everybody chanting Cena sucks. Yeah. So if I have that opportunity to align with, you know, the corporate entity and get me to the place where I want to be on my final run, you're goddamn right I'm going to do it. I think that fits. And honestly, the Cena heel turn is, I think, one of the bigger what-ifs in terms of what would have happened if Dwayne had been around. How would things have been different if the person pulling the strings, the corporate entity, had been there? Because you could have done something like, okay, John didn't win a title match. Well, guess what? Dwayne walks out and goes, nah, we're going to give you another one. And why? Because I can make it happen.
Also, I'll say this about the Steve Austin one. He lost his partner in crime 6 weeks after
two-man
the
power
heel
trip.
The heel turn, because someone tore their quad.
And so, and Stone Cold had to kind of carry the whole thing without Triple H there.
And then we got the WCW. McMahon. Yeah, then we had the invasion and everything.
Yeah, we still had McMahon. And I think one of the bigger things is, if I remember correctly, we still had a pretty good element involved in the Stone Cold turn in that Kurt Angle was there.
Kurt played it. Kurt filled the role that I think Hunter was going to be as his number two.
Except Kurt was more
comedy
humor than, yeah.
Yeah.
Which I would contend, I think, saved some things more in that element.
It did. It actually,
Kurt with the tiny cowboy hat, Kurt singing the songs, and, you know, Steve having to try and keep a straight face while...
And we wouldn't have got that if we get rid of the Steve Austin heel turn, and then Milkomania doesn't run wild, and Kurt Angle doesn't get elevated the way he did. There are things that kind of all come out of it.
See, this is one of those things that's funny. It's like, I don't know if I want to eliminate John Cena, but it's almost like I want to see, you know, I want to alter the John Cena heel turn to be like what would have happened if Dwayne had been around.
Right.
Because with that, I think this run could have been something embodying it more. Whereas I think Austin still had more around him and we saw it run its course and we were like, okay, that really wasn't, you know, that really wasn't that great or that impactful. I mean, things did come from it, like you said. Angle's elevation absolutely came from that. But I think there's more in terms of, like, when I look at the situation, I go, we saw exactly what we got out of Steve Austin. Yes, Hunter should have been around. Yes, it would have been different, and in my opinion, would have been probably more serious with Hunter around. But with John, I question if it's more what if or what could have happened. So I'm more inclined to release or to get rid of Steve because it's the idea of, like, we got it. It wasn't that great. I'm more inclined to get rid of that.
Okay. There you go. All right. That was Erase This. Took moments from history and kind of erased them. Maybe we'll do more. Good conversation. But before we go, the WTR Fantasy ended on Friday when SmackDown ended. And there were some big totals this week. We had a 37. We had a 33. We also had a -4 and a -6 thrown in there, just for fun.
I was going to say, whoever had Cody lost some points.
Hi, I had Cody.
No. Wait, you lost. Oh, I needed to catch up to you, because I think I was in second.
So coming in dead last, and wasn't for a while, but had some unfortunate moments the last couple weeks, was the wheel.
Yeah.
At 114.
The wheel had a pretty decent team overall.
It did, but then some of it got fired.
Yeah. I started off really weak, but came through during the season.
Coming in and in fifth was Keishi. He had some ups and downs. He had a solid team, just some ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
He had 177 points. With 190 points, we have Team Tim. Not a great year.
He got some points with Drew McIntyre, though.
He did.
My entire planning backfired because the people that I picked that I expected to heat up in the second half of this season's fantasy didn't heat up.
Nope, they did not. Coming in third, we have Team Lindsay at 209 points. Coming in second, 250 points is the intern.
God damn it.
I finished the season with 281 points for the win.
Okay, 30 points. To be fair, like I said, if you looked at like the start of the season, I think I was below the wheel.
You were for a bit.
I was hurting for a while, and then like my team started to come along in the fact that Punk won the world title, Rhea won the tag belts, Dark State won the tag belts, Oba was your NXT champion. So it was like I had some good runs in my team.
You did. You got 33 points this week. Big run.
Yeah. My problem was I had the Bloodline as my
your
double team, and then Blake Monroe lost her belt and then just kind of didn't do much.
No, it hasn't really paid off on that one. But we'll see what happens in the next season of WTR Fantasy, which will be coming up very, very soon. Stay tuned for details on that. But we're done. That will do it for WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network program. We're not live tomorrow because Raw's in overseas somewhere, airing at 2 p.m. Eastern. So there's no post-show. But we'll be live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for the Rack to probably talk about Monday Night Raw. Saturday night, CB Radio, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. And we'll be back next Sunday for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern. Maybe we'll do some more erasing of history. We'll figure
Rock
out
there that. In Dusseldorf, Germany.
In Germany, okay. Good to know. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com. It's Wild Talk Radio Network. It's at WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. Tim.
Yeah, Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, Elon Musk's latest venture. Follow me there at Flames Forums, because I post all the time and I'm very entertaining, even if I say so myself, which, of course, I just did. Right, Brent?
Sure.
Okay.
See, even Brent sang it. Not Sports Illustrated, it's Brent, but... You know, credibility-wise, probably even.
Yeah, sure. I'm right up there with Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Anyway, Brent.
Yeah, you can find me on a variety of social media. Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. That would be on X/Twitter, Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky. All the fun stuff.
Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming, it's not Twitch Prime, it's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen to support channel for free. You can use credit code RocketSock at the Fortnite item shop when you buy South Park and every other collab they have going, because hashtag epic partner. Tim.
Yes?
Send us home.
Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in. It was a fun shoot the shit session tonight. Enjoy your week. Pay attention to what's going on. And it'll lead us into next Sunday. Have yourselves a great night. Go to bed! I'm breaking the limit inside you. Stop
blogtalkradio.com.